Father, as we go into your word, we just want to look back with gratitude. I want to look forward with hope. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. If I ask you to summarize this year in an emoji, I know you give me various answers, but I think we can group any answer you give under three categories. There are those that would say, the year is a thumbs up. I know there will be few if I ask you. There are those that would say, the year is a thumbs down. And I think the majority of us would be like, the year is like a 6-7. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. But I think after this, I hope to convince you that the year is actually like this. One of the interesting passages in the Bible is that of the seraphims flying around God's throne. And they say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. You think, why would they say earth? If they say heaven is full of your glory, it makes sense. But they also say the earth is full of his glory. They are seeing things from a different perspective. And I hope that today we can see a little bit from their perspective. I want us to think about the small things. Many times when we think about something like summarizing the year, we think about all those big things that have happened to us. But I wonder if you can spend a few minutes to just think about those small things. You know, if the only time you reserve your thanks or gratitude for your spouse is when they do, hi Max, is when they do great birthday party for you, or maybe you're married to a very rich spouse and they give you keys to a new car, if that's the only time you express your gratitude, I don't think it's a sign of a healthy relationship. It's when you say thank you for those things they don't even consider important. Like when they pick crumbs from the corner of your lips. Or they spill something on the floor. They can clean it. You know they can. But then you clean it for them. All those little things. And the same way your spouse, your children, your parents appreciate these little things, God does the same. If you think about it, you have your heartbeat to thank him for, your sense of smell. How many of us had COVID and lost our sense of smell? Yeah. If I ask her to tell us how food tasted, you think it's only your tongue you use to taste food? Your nose does a bit as well. You have your sense of smell to thank him for. Your ability to hear and enjoy music or savor a good meal. You have your family to thank him for. Charles just said back home on a day like this, last Sunday of the year, we are all so excited. And you wonder why, what's special about this day? But you know, if you come from a poverty-stricken country like mine, where we've not managed our resources properly, to make it through the year. For instance, when I was learning how to drive here, I would joke and tell my friends who taught me how to drive, some of them are in the congregation, that, you know, road signs in my country, they're just decorations. That thing you paint on the floor and you call zebra crossing, we don't see it. Zebra what? If you love yourself and you see a car coming, just wait. Let the car go. It's a car crossing at that point, not zebra. And I didn't see any zebra. So, I mean, you can be a victim of accident just like that, and nothing happens. And if the accident happens, you better start screaming and hoping that a good Samaritan stops to pick you up. Because ambulances, did you say ambulance? I mean, we got to your country and we're like, wow, wow. That's an ambulance. We read about that in the books. If you see an ambulance in my country, it's probably taking a rich patient or someone from one hospital to the other hospital. They don't come to your house to pick you. If there is a fire, don't call the fire engine. They will tell you we don't have water. Or we don't have fuel. So when you make it to the end of the year, you really thank God. You get to that hospital after the Good Samaritan has taken you there. And they might not have drugs. Or they tell you, so we will need cotton wool. We will need plaster. We will need this to treat you. Where's the money? Unlike here, you just walk into the NHS and they better give you what you want when you want it. My wife can tell you about times she's done, you know, suturing. Maybe someone's had a big cut or something like that, and it's late at night and there's no electricity. You hold your phone, or if a nurse is around, the nurse will hold the phone while you're doing that. If there's no nurse, this is what you do. I'm not saying it to rubbish my country. I'm just saying, so over there, it's starker. You can see God's mercies, and you thank him for it. And I don't want us to take it for granted, because you know the interesting thing? We come here, and after a few years, we start taking these things for granted ourselves. Let's thank God for it. Let's thank God for the NHS. Let's thank God for all the doctors. Let's thank God for the nurses, the care workers. Let's not take it for granted. Let's thank him for this thing called electricity. It is constant here. Back in my home country, when electricity is restored, even if it is 2 a.m., you jump out of your bed and you start ironing for the week. Because you don't know when next is coming. Or you run outside and pump water because you don't have this public water supply. I am not saying we don't need to go through that to know how good God is. So let's just spend a moment to think about those small things we tend to take for granted. What about those things we call coincidences? Are they really coincidences or are they mercies? Earlier this week, I misplaced my wedding ring. And you see, when I go out without this, honestly speaking, after wearing it for so many years, it's as if I don't have my trousers on. That's how I feel. Crazy, but that's how I feel. So, I mean, it started bothering me because I checked everywhere. But I couldn't find it. My wife had checked. My daughter had checked. And then I remembered, you know, you can ask God. I was taught all these things when we read the story about the lost coin. So I just whispered a prayer. Lord, it's bothering me. I don't like it. Help me to get it. Just a simple prayer. I didn't close my eyes. I didn't clasp my hands. Just said a simple prayer. And then I got home because I said it while I was going to work. I got home that day. Went into the room to do something, and there it was, where I checked. Some people will say it's coincidence. Some people will say you didn't check properly, your wife didn't check properly, your daughter didn't check properly. Maybe. You call it a coincidence, I call it God's mercy. How many things have you classified as a coincidence, a happy coincidence, good luck, that have actually been God's mercies? Let's think about it. And for those of us that will say this year has generally been a thumbs down, I know you say that because probably you've suffered a loss. Any kind of loss. Maybe lost a family member. You lost a relationship. That could be divorce or separation. Maybe you've lost a job, lost your health, lost finances, or anything like that. And you say, yeah, it's like that. I'd like to just say to you, if whatever you've suffered this year is something you consider your fault, because that's the next thing we do, we think whose fault is it? I'd like to implore you this morning to embrace God's forgiveness. Maybe you've lost an opportunity. You're like, wow, how foolish of me. I've lost this opportunity. And we have all these sayings. Opportunity comes but once in a lifetime. How do you see all those things? Please forgive yourself. Let go of all the regrets. Because our regrets carry all the weight of a fart. They are irrelevant and they are unhelpful. Don't even think about what are the lessons to learn from it. Leave that for later. I'd like to enjoin you, embrace God's forgiveness and thank Him for that thing you've lost. And for those who would say the year is like this and it's not my fault, probably lost someone close to you, I'd just like to remind you of the words of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It says, remember that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Shegun, that doesn't make sense. Someone might say, I agree. To this thing, it doesn't make sense. But you know, the greatest tragedy this world has seen was the shedding of the blood of the innocent one, the Holy One, Jesus Christ. Yet, God has made that to work together for our good. So if you've suffered a loss this year, you're still in the throes of the pain, I'd like to remind you, even though it may not seem like it, that God makes all things to work together for our good. And even though you may not be able to thank Him for that loss, I'd like you to thank Him for just the fact that He will make it to work together, or He's making it to work together for your good. Lastly, I just want us to spend a few moments thinking about 2026. When you think about 2026, are you looking forward to the year with hope, or are you filled with trepidation? For those that have lost maybe a family member, I'm thinking, how am I going to cope? Those things we used to do together, how am I going to do that on my own? I'd just like to enjoin you this morning to think about God's promise. Promises fill your hearts with hope. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Lord promised us, He says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts to prosper you and not to harm you. This morning, we'll be having an activity or taking part in an activity. I'd like you to take hold of a promise of God. Take hold of as many promises as you can find of in the Bible and engage with them. Don't just read it and leave it there. Engage with them. What do I mean by engaging with them? The first way you engage with them is by proclaiming these promises. You declare these promises. If you take the promise and you put it in your pocket, you go to sleep, I'll be surprised if it works, because many of God's promises, you need to engage with them for them to bear fruit. And like I said, the first way to engage is by proclaiming them. Our words are powerful. Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And you need to speak these promises. Why should you speak these promises? For the promises to be fulfilled, you need to believe them. You need to have faith. And faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God. I think the best way to hear it is by speaking it. You can have a radio player or your phone or whatever playing those things, but I like to say it to myself. So I'm the engine saying it. My ear is hearing, saying it. I'm hearing, saying it. I'm hearing. And it builds faith in your heart. Remember, God created the world with his words, not wishes. The patriarchs of old blessed their children with words, not their wishes. The children of Israel sealed their destiny with their words, not by how they felt. They said, we are like grasshoppers in our eyes. We can't claim that land. Ezekiel the prophet, we like to read about him, how he prophesied to the valley of dry bones. What did he use? His words. When Angel Gabriel went to Mary to tell her about Jesus, what did he use? His words. Jesus repeatedly spoke of his death and resurrection using his words. And when Peter spoke something otherwise, he would not tolerate it. Jesus birthed the church with his words. And we are saved by our words. So I want to enjoin you this year. Please speak God's promises. Only speak what you want to see. Speak where you are going. Don't even joke, you know. I'm sorry to say, but around here, I hear people joking and they say negative things about themselves. Don't say that. Why, Shego? I'm just joking. Faith comes by hearing. So if you call yourself, a good example is people just saying things like they're stupid or I don't know, maybe they've forgotten something and then they say something about their memory being porous like a sieve. You keep saying that and saying that and saying that and you are building faith for what you don't want to see. Speak over your spouse what you want to see. Speak over your children what you want to see in them. Speak God's word over your mind and your body, the things you desire to see. Declare God's word boldly this year because your mountains need to hear the voice of God spoken through your lips. What did Jesus say if you have a mountain before you? He said, speak and say to it, be thou removed and cast into the sea. He didn't say, get there and wish. That is cast into the sea. So speak God's word to your mountains. Speak it consistently for those things you want to grant permission to grow. We also have an opportunity to declare God's word over 2026. The things we'd like to see. And when it's time to do that, please, I want you to proclaim it boldly. The promises of God that you'll be coming up with in your activity, speak it as often as you want, as you can, rather, in the new year. And the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us to your house again. Thank you for your words we've heard. Father, I pray that the balance of this year, as we think about 2025, our hearts will be filled with gratitude for everything, great and small, that you've done for us. And as we look into 2026, as we plan, as we prepare, we pray into it, let our hearts be filled with promises. Please don't cross over into 2026 without having something you've mined out of God's word. And you're going to proclaim and declare it. And as you do it, faith will rise in you. And then ideas of how to begin to activate it or to implement it will start coming out. Father, grant us the grace to do this. Help us to stop speaking loosely. if you anointed the tongues of many of us here, and we speak the way we do, we're going to create catastrophe. Help us to use our words wisely, to speak where we want to go, to speak what we want to see. Help us to come up with better jokes than these self-deprecating, these negative things we joke about. You don't say those things about us. So we shouldn't, we dare not say them about ourselves or our spouses or our children or even our government. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.